The attributes of God is a phrase that we use to describe timeless characteristics that are true of God. Today, the Wisdom Journey brings us to a section in Numbers where we learn several impressive attributes.
There's an old saying that actions speak louder than words, and that's certainly true. Even though God has spoken clearly through Moses here in Numbers chapters 26 through 31, God is going to speak loudly to a brand new generation of Israelites through his actions. And his actions are going to reveal some truths about his attributes. For instance, here in Numbers chapter 26, God's people are reminded that the Lord is faithful. God speaks to Moses and Eleazar, the new high priest, here in verse 2. Take a census of all the congregation of the people of Israel, from 20 years old and upward by their fathers' houses, all in Israel who are able to go to war. Now, this was the same instruction the Lord gave at Sinai years earlier in Numbers chapter 1. You might remember that this book is entitled Numbers, from the Greek word arithmoi, which gives us the word arithmetic. And that's because the book opens and closes now with a census. It's a book of numbers. And this final census here indicates that the Lord is preparing the people for conquest. This new generation of Israelites, they're standing on the threshold of the promised land, which is, by the way, a testimony that God is faithful and keeping his promises, now 40 years old. Now, over in chapter 27, you might write the words, God is fair. And here you find the five daughters of Zelophehad coming to Moses. Their father has died without a male heir, and these girls have no inheritance in the land. So here in verse 4, they plead their case. Why should the name of our father be taken away from his clan? Because he had no son. Give to us a possession among our father's brothers, that is, our uncles. Now, we can't find a law governing this kind of case in the Old Testament. So Moses does the right thing. He goes to the Lord. And in verse 7, the Lord answers, the daughters of Zelophehad are right. You shall give them possession of an inheritance among their uncles and transfer the inheritance of their father to them. Now, God didn't make a mistake earlier that he's trying to fix now. This event is recorded in history to make the point that the Lord is compassionate and fair. Now, there's another critical step in preparing for entering the land, and that's going to be appointing a successor to Moses. And this action reveals that God is wise. The Lord tells Moses to go up on a mountain where he can see the land that the Lord is giving Israel. Here in verse 13, he says to Moses, when you have seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people. The Lord is going to allow Moses to see the land, but he isn't going to allow him to enter the land because of his earlier defiance. But Moses makes this request of the Lord here in verse 16. Let the Lord appoint a man over the congregation who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord appoints Joshua now to succeed Moses. There's obvious wisdom in choosing Joshua. You may remember he was that courageous spy who had wanted to go into the land and defeat the giants 40 years earlier. And then he was chosen to receive leadership training on the job as the assistant to Moses during the 40 years of wilderness wandering. Well, now here in verse 22, we see this public ceremony that makes a lot of sense. This is a wise move. Moses took Joshua and made him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and the whole congregation, and he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord directed. So now Joshua is officially Moses' successor as Israel's leader. Now, the divine instruction that follows reveal yet another truth about God, that God is relational. All the offerings recounted here in chapters 28 and here in chapter 29 simply reveal the wonderful truth that the Lord wants a close relationship with this new generation of Israelites. And again, you find God's direction about daily offerings, verses 1 to 8, directions about the Sabbath offerings, verses 9 to 10. You have direction related to monthly offerings, verses 11 to 15. And then finally, you have the annual offerings. They're going to include the special Passover offerings, verses 16 of chapter 28, all the way through the end of chapter 29. We've already studied these offerings in prior lessons. Listen, God is repeating all of this because he wants this nation, this new generation, to know that he's not an inaccessible God. He is a relational God. He is not withdrawn. He is welcoming. Now, this isn't just true for the nation Israel, but also for individuals whose faith is active and obedient, and we're enjoying fellowship with the Lord. Now, here in chapter 30, guidelines are going to be given for making vows to the Lord. Verse 2 says, "If a man vows a vow to the Lord, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." Now, the point of this chapter actually is to warn the Israelites that breaking their vow hinders fellowship with God. Again, this is emphasizing that God wants that fellowship with his people. He doesn't want to be isolated. He wants to be involved. That's true in your life today and in mine. Now, in chapter 31, we're given the revelation that God is just. The Lord tells Moses here in verse 2, "Avenge the people of Israel on the Midianites." You remember how Balak, the Moabite king, attempted to curse Israel, and then on Balaam's advice, ended up luring Israel into idolatry and immorality. Well, those Midianites had joined Moab in attempting to destroy Israel. Let me tell you, this is now payday for them all. We're told here in verse 7 that Israel goes to war against them, and they killed every male, they killed the kings, and they also killed Balaam, that false prophet. You see, this is God's death penalty enacted, as he often did in the Old Testament, immediately on defiance, rebellion, and idolatry. Israel is essentially acting on God's behalf to carry out his justice. Now, beloved, the world doesn't like this attribute of God, but God is not only compassionate, he is also just. And in the end, according to the word of God, judgment will be delivered on the entire world of humanity. Only those who've run to shelter in Jesus Christ will escape the coming wrath and the holy justice of God. I'm reminded again of one of our country's founding fathers who said, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice will not sleep forever." Now, as we move through the end of chapter 31 here, we're reminded that God is also holy. God sets forth for us here in verses 13 through 24 the proper ritual for purification from uncleanness. Now, this isn't just about good hygiene and washing your hands and behind your ears before bedtime. Ritual uncleanness is an Old Testament symbol of sin. And those who have been made ritually unclean through warfare needed ceremonial cleansing. By the way, this is also a reminder for us today that our sin daily needs to be forgiven. We need cleansing in order to have fellowship with a holy God, not becoming a Christian every day, but having that fellowship restored. This is a picture of the cleansing sacrifice of Jesus Christ who reconciles us to a holy, just God. Now, the final act here in chapter 31 reminds us that the Lord is worth praising. Here in verse 48, the officers of the army come to Moses with a huge offering of gold jewelry taken in plunder. And they say to him here in verse 49, "Your servants have counted the men of war who are under our command, and there's not a man missing from us." So this is a gift of gratitude for what God has done in giving them victory, and every soldier wants to be involved. Now, let me tell you, this is where you ought to end up when you walk in obedience with God and when you discover about God that He is faithful and fair, wise, relational, just, and holy. What can you do? What would you want to do but praise Him? I hope you do that today. Well, until our next wisdom journey together, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for taking the time to be with us today on the Wisdom Journey. Stephen Davey is traveling through God's Word with a new lesson each weekday. If we can help or serve you in any way, feel free to call us here in our Cary, North Carolina office. Our number is 866-48-BIBLE. That's 866-48-BIBLE. If we're helping another listener, leave a message and we'll call you back. Join us next time.